I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 33 for the message tonight. I want to read three verses, which are the last three verses in the chapter. I have preached from verse 27 a couple of times through the years, but I want to use verse 29, the last verse, as my text tonight. But let's go back to verse 27, and we read these words: "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." Now I want you to go back to the first part of verse 29. It says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee." And then it says this statement, "O people saved by the Lord." And when I read that first part, "Happy art thou," I'm not an Israeli. I'm not Jewish, but I'm related by blood. And I know I'm saved. And so I read that, "Happy art thou, O people saved by the Lord." Amen. And I couldn't get away from it. And so I started thinking about that for a message tonight. And here's what I've come up with, what I have for you tonight. I'm going to entitle the message tonight, "The Search for Happiness." The Search for Happiness. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we ask now your blessings to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the music that has prepared our hearts to receive your Word tonight. And Father, I just pray that you will enable and help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing tonight, and I want you to use me tonight to help our people. Lord, we just need to learn these things. We need to understand these things, especially in this evil age in which we live. And so I pray that you will help us tonight to see where happiness comes from. Everybody is looking for happiness, but it seems very few are finding happiness. And it's because they're looking for it in the wrong place. So, Lord, just help us tonight and open our understanding to the Word of God. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, the search for happiness. You know, so many people today seem to have lost their happiness. I have heard since the election heard and read a few reports of how so many people across our great land have lost their joy. They've lost their happiness as a result of what happened in this last election. They can see the direction that America is headed, and they're not happy over that. They're fearful for what the future holds. The truth is, our greatest blessings are usually the things we think about the least. Isn't that true? Yeah. Our greatest blessings are usually the things we think about the least. We are rarely conscious of some of our greatest mercies. For instance, when a man is healthy, he rarely thinks about his health. He enjoys it, but he doesn't sit around and dwell on it. He doesn't think about it that much. And it is only when the day of pain arrives, or when the contrast between his own health and that of a friend or a neighbor who is suffering is noticed, that that man truly realizes how blessed he is to have had his own health for so many years. Now, as it is with health, so it is with happiness. The happy individual seldom thinks of how happy he or she is. Other people might see it, and they may even be a little envious of this person's happiness, but seldom does a happy individual sit and wonder about his own happiness. It is only when happiness is gone, when the rose withers, when the sun is darkened, that we truly appreciate the priceless gift of what we had and lost. So I think that all of the world's talk today about happiness is really a proof of this old world's unhappiness. I think because everybody's talking about it, that's a pretty good indication that nobody has it anymore. I think that up in heaven, where everybody is happy, there is no discussion about happiness. Are you getting this? The subject never comes up in heaven. But here in this old sinful world, where there is so much unrest and so much wickedness and so much sorrow, and we're all growing older by the day, and we're all dying by the day, we talk more and more about it as things get worse and worse and as we grow older and older. Now, it is one of the strange contradictions. And let's be honest, life is full of contradictions. But it is one of the strange contradictions of our faith that the gospel has proven itself a powerful factor in creating happiness. For example, do you remember when you got saved? Can you remember that? I remember when I got saved. Oh, I was walking about that high off the floor. I remember the day I got saved, yes, indeed. And if you will just sit and think about it, you'll remember when you got saved, just how happy you were. But the contradicting thing is that our Savior was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We see our Savior in the Gospels sweating great drops of blood in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what he had to do the next morning. We see our Savior hanging on Calvary's cross for 6 long, agonizing hours, bleeding and dying for our sin. And that cross is the centerpiece of the gospel message. Yet out of that gospel, where grief seems to be the main thing, has come in the mystery of God our happiness. That's a little sobering, isn't it? Out of the cloud has come the call, let him that is thirsty come. Out of the cloud has come the call, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, I have never met a single soul who came to Christ who wasn't happy about their decision. Have you? No, everybody that you have the privilege to lead to Christ, they're thrilled that they got saved. I mean, one of the most powerful influences upon the human race has no doubt been the Christian faith and the peace and the joy that comes from having sins forgiven and the happiness that just floods your soul when you realize that you are now a child of God. Now, I want to point out a few elements of the gospel that have helped make all of us who have accepted the gospel a little happier. There are a few things that I want to call to your attention. Now, you do remember, I've taught you this before, but you do remember that when I say the gospel, I'm not just talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking about Genesis through Revelation. Gospel. Gospel. God's word. Gospel. God's word. That's the gospel. Right here. From Genesis to Revelation. From generations to revolutions. It's right here in the book. All right? Now, there are just a couple of things that I want to show you. And I'm going to lead you somewhere with each of these three points that I give you tonight. Number one, we're talking about a search for happiness. Number one, we must understand that happiness is only a byproduct. We've got to realize that, folks. Happiness is only a byproduct of getting saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You hear somebody say, I am going to be happy. Happiness is my goal and my aim in life. Well, you just mark it down. That person is never going to find happiness. If happiness is your goal, I hate to tell you this, but you will search fruitlessly. You will search and you'll never find what you're looking for. That you will end up being one of the most miserable people in life. You see, it is when we are not looking for happiness that we find it. Now, please let that sink in. It is when we are not looking for happiness that we find it. It is when we strive to overcome life's struggles and difficulties, not with pleasures, but by higher interest. It is when we aim at something higher than being happy that we find true happiness. Now, let me show you how the gospel deals with this. Let me share with you how the Bible handles this matter. You know, I have read this Bible many times from cover to cover. And I have never found anywhere in the Bible that the chief end of man is to be happy. It's because the Bible never teaches that. The chief end of man is not happiness. The chief end of man is to know God through the pardon and forgiveness of sin because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So the chief end of man is to know God. And yet everyone seems to be looking for happiness. You go to the bookstores, the Christian bookstores, and you will find one of the largest sections in that bookstore is a how-to section that where you'll find book after book after book that is trying to tell you how to find happiness. But folks, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ never says be happy. What the gospel tells you and me is be holy. And there's a difference. There's the difference. And I'm saying, aim at the highest. Aim at the highest. And happiness will be a byproduct of being right with God. Our goal should not be happiness. Our goal should be, I am going to read this book and learn this book and know this book and let the Holy Spirit teach me this book so that I will know the God that has redeemed my soul. And if you will get to know the God who has redeemed your soul, a natural byproduct of that is happiness. But you can't find it looking for it. You have to find it looking for God. Far too many people make happiness the goal, and then they're disappointed. Now, what does Jesus say about this? Well, you know Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye, what's the next word? First, what? The kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. If our goal was to know the Lord and to understand His word and to know His ways, we would soon find happiness is as a byproduct. So, point number one, we must understand that happiness is only a byproduct. Now, second thing I want you to recognize. Second thing, we must recognize that happiness has two great enemies. Two great enemies. Now, I know I'm simplifying this because, truth be told, happiness probably has thousands of enemies. But I'm going to simplify it and break it down into two great enemies that I think are keeping so many people from happiness. There are two things that I think are master foes that seek to keep men from finding happiness in life. The first enemy of happiness is anxiety. Anxiety. Now, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But you know, with these old sinful natures we all possess, that is hard to do, isn't it? It is hard to do. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. We just have a hard time with that. We fret over every little thing, don't we? Are there not many in our church right here tonight who would be happy if somehow they could choke the life out of the anxiety that plagues them day and night? What is anxiety? Well, basically, it is faithlessness. Yeah. That's basically what anxiety is. It is worry. And worry is you assuming a responsibility that God never intended you to have. We're not to worry, we're to trust. Now, I know you say, but Pastor, it's hard. We all do it. I know we do. But we need to be reminded that God wants us to trust Him. Yes, it's easy to let anxiety creep in, and we fret over this, and we worry about that, and it keeps us up at night, and it plagues our thoughts throughout the day. But what we need to realize is that anxiety is an enemy to happiness. Don't let it creep in and get a hold of you. Now, hold your place here, and I want you to go over to the book of Isaiah for a minute. I want to show you a parallel passage here. Isaiah. Go to chapter 26, a familiar verse, a wonderful verse. We'll begin reading in verse 1, Isaiah 26. It says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Now watch this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Wow. Now my question is this. Where does your mind stay? Where do you allow your mind to stay? You see, the promise here is that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. So what we're doing is we're going back to that first point. Folks, do not seek happiness. Seek a right relationship with God. Learn how to trust in the promises that you read in this book. Get a hold of the God that is in control of all things. Put your trust in him. And when you do, you'll have peace of mind. You'll have that peace of mind. Where does your mind stay? Does it stay upon the Lord? Does it stay upon his word? Does it stay upon your personal relationship with him? Or does your mind stay upon your anxieties and your problems? If it does, you can be assured that happiness will not be there. There's a second enemy to happiness. And the second enemy is this. You ready? First, I said anxiety. Number two, apathy. Apathy. It is so easy for us to grow apathetic, listless, weary, tired from the struggle. You see, the devil is not going to stop, folks. I mean, he knows that he hath but a short time, and he's busy. He is not going to stop. He's not going to let up. His attacks are relentless. And we get sidetracked and we put all of our attention on the attack. And then we get tired and we get apathetic in our walk with God. And that's why Paul said, "And be not weary in well-doing." And yet the majority of Christians are, I think, at many times in their Christian life, weary in well-doing. I think I told you about the pollster. He was out knocking on doors one Saturday and taking a poll. And guy opened the door and he said, "Sir, we're taking a survey. What do you think is the biggest problem in America today, ignorance or apathy?" Guy said, "I don't know and I don't care," and slammed the door. And you know, that's the way most of us handle things anymore. I don't know and I don't care. Ignorance and apathy. We got them both running with us, don't we? But wait a minute, folks. There is too much to be done to get apathetic in the Christian life. There is so much room to grow. Don't get apathetic. We still got a lot of growing we got to do. There are too many souls to win to Christ. There are too many people that are still on their way to hell. We can't get apathetic. We just can't. How can we allow ourselves to get apathetic and listless in the Christian life? And then there's a third thing. And here's where I'm leading you to. Number three. Listen to this. You're going to say, "Really?" And I'm going to say, "Yeah." All right, so before you say, "Really?" I'm just going to go ahead and say, "Yeah." You go, "I knew that." Did you? Did you now? All right, number three. Listen to this. Happiness is found in life's common things. And we forget that.
Really?
Yes. See, I told you would. It took the chairman of my board to do it, but I told you that's what you'd say. Hey, folks, listen to me. Everybody look here. Look here. You. I'm talking about you. 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 You can be happy. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? You can be happy. You see, happiness is not found in wealth. Happiness is not found in learning. Happiness is not found in genius. Happiness is not found in power. Happiness is found in the common things of life. It is found in family. It is found in health. It is found in friendships. It is found in home. It is found in the voices of the children playing on the playground. It's found in the sunshine. It's found in the sound of a gentle breeze. It is found in the common things. It is the blessings that are the most common, not in those things that are the rarest. Truth of the matter is, most of us in this building tonight are never going to have great wealth. We got money, we live, we have a home, we have a car that we drove to church. But you're not going to be a multimillionaire in your life, most of us. But you can still be happy. It's found in the most common, not those things that are the rarest. Now, let me prove this to you. Would you just shut your mind for a moment? Just flip it off and allow me to have you focus on one thing. I want you to focus on one thing. Now, I mean, forget about work tomorrow. Forget about beltway traffic tomorrow. Forget about bills that are due. Forget about your doctor's appointment. Just forget all that. Just rule it out. Think on this. I want you to think on your children, your home. You say, well, I don't have any children. Think of your spouse. Well, I don't have a spouse. Think of your mother. You had one of them. Think of home. Let their faces come to mind. I want you to think right now about the pitter-patter of your grandchildren running across the floor to jump in your lap. I want you to think about when your first child was laid in your arms for the first time. I want you to think about the birthday parties. I want you to think about the Christmases. I want you to think about the day that they came asking you how to be saved from their sin, and you were able to take the Word of God and lead your children to Christ. Think about that for a moment. It is the common things, not those rare, out-of-reach things that make you happy. I remind my kids all the time not to get so busy with life that you lose sight of the common things that are the true source of having a happy life. Folks, love your kids. You young parents sitting here in this service tonight, listen, if you don't hear a thing that I've said all year long, would you please get this? Love your children. I mean, hug them. Kiss on them. Don't let them out of your sight. I mean, when they go, oh, Mom, quit. No, don't quit. Love them and let them know that you love them. Spend time with them. I don't care what else is going on. Nothing is as important as those children that call you mommy or call you daddy. I don't care what it is. Keep them close. Read to them. Pray with them. Hug them. Talk to them. Teach them life lessons. It is time for some dads and moms to literally lose yourself in something so common that we often miss it, and that is your children. And if you pour yourself into your children and create a happy home, you will find happiness in this life. I promise you that. As I was preparing this message, I sat in my office and I just reflected back, started remembering things. And I sat there and just, I mean, I had myself a time just remembering and laughing and crying some of the things that went on. I reflected back to when we lived in Dixie. Joshua was 2 years old when we moved to Dixie. And the girls were born there. And I remember when Josh was about 6 or 7 years old, he kept wanting to go hunting with me. "Daddy, can I go hunting with you?" And so I took him deer hunting with me. And he said, "What do we do?" And I said, we stand right here." Well, it was cold. And we're standing there waiting on a deer to come along. And I knew he was getting bored. He started to fidget and, you know, he was picking at the tree and pulling the bark off of it. And then all of a sudden I heard bing, 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 bing. And I turned around, he's throwing acorns down the mountainside. And then I remember when the girls were about 3 or 4, and I don't know if it was me or Karen, which one of us had this brilliant idea to go to take them to a guy in the church had a pond, and it was just full of fish. And somebody had the brilliant idea that I take the three of them up there to fish. And that guy had a pet crow. Do you remember that crow? He had a pet crow. And that crow, he could whistle and that crow would come down and land on his finger. And that crow didn't like Joshua. He thought Joshua was a threat. And the crow jumped towards Josh and pecked him right on the leg. So that didn't go well. And I remember untangling fishing lines all afternoon. I mean, cutting them out of trees. Cutting them out of, you name it. I mean, out of Lauren's hair. It was such a fun afternoon. I remember them in their pajamas. And I'm putting them to bed, which I did every night. And reading stories. And praying with them before bed. I remembered teaching them how to drive. You know, Lauren and Leanne, it was like they had been driving forever. I mean, he had his learner's permit. "Dad, I need to go to the library." Boy, had never been to the library in his life. Never been to the library in his life. And I said, "You want to go to the library?" "Yeah, can I drive?" So I let him drive down to the library. As we're coming back, there's a creek on the right-hand side. Did you notice there's a running theme here tonight? There was the creek on the right-hand side of the road. We go to turn left to go to our house, and for some reason, the right blinker went on. Well, the guy behind us thought he was pulling off the road. So just about the time he revved the engine and pulled around us, Joshua made his left turn. Oh, just peeled the side of my car right off. How many of you have been there and done that? Raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of you have. You remember those times? There's where you find happiness, folks. Right there is where you find happiness. I remember the ball games. I remember the tournaments. I remember the nationals. I remember graduations from CCS and then the college graduations. I remembered the weddings. And as I sat there and thought about all of that, all of a sudden, happiness came over my soul. And you know, with all the mess that is going on right now, and with all these evil letters being written and this garbage being strewn all over the place, it all just lifted off of me as I thought about all these things. I'm telling you, folks, it's the common. It's the everyday joys of family. It's the everyday joy of children, of the precious lives that God Himself has given to you that brings you happiness in life. Many of you ladies, you'd keep the nursery, and I appreciate that. And God bless you for it. And you're going to get your reward one of these days. But many of you have watched Josh and Kathy's baby, Brennan, in the nursery. Let me tell you something. If you're weary, if you're grouchy, if you're apathetic, if you're anxious, I want you to come and see me, and I'll go get that little fella, and I'll just let you watch him for about 2 minutes. And I'll guarantee you, after about 2 minutes, you're going to have a happy heart.
Amen.
I mean, that is the happiest, sweetest, best-natured little guy I've ever seen. And when he looks at you, wrinkles his nose, smiles from ear to ear, if it doesn't move you, you ought to go over to the emergency room and find out what's wrong with you. And you know, you got one in your family too. You got one in your family too. And I'm telling you, folks, it's the common things that we take for granted. And I'm just telling everybody, don't take any of them for granted. Don't take your family for granted. Don't take your health for granted. Find happiness in the common things. And the gospel of Christ comes with its great power to set those common things apart. That gospel comes with its great power to set the ordinary, the average, apart. It is not the glory of Christ Jesus that he has exalted them of low degree. Isn't that what the Bible says? It is the glory of Jesus Christ that he has exalted them of low degree. We receive the gospel as just average, common, ordinary people. And then we set out to do something for God, and God blesses our efforts, and all of a sudden, an ordinary, average person can accomplish something extraordinary. You see, it's not on the rare gifts that the gospel puts its emphasis. It is on the wealth and power of the common things, the lowly blessings. Let me say it this way. A Christian is not a man who necessarily does extraordinary things. He does ordinary things, however, in an extraordinary way. And there's the difference. We are looking for happiness in the wrong places. Now, church, listen. Look for it in the common. Look for it in the ordinary. Look for it in the average. Look for it in the normal. Just live your life close to God. Read your Bible. Learn who God is. And learn what Christ's salvation has done for you. Letting God then use you with all your normalcy, with all your average abilities, with all of your ordinary ways, and if you'll let God use you, I guarantee you, you will be happy. I don't know how many people have said to me, Pastor, do you think I ought to join the Soul Winners Club in 17, almost 18 years now? Pastor, you think I could join the Soul Winners? Sure, sure. Well, I don't know if I can do it. Oh yeah, you can do it. I'm just average. I'm just normal. I mean, I'm a nobody. Well, welcome to the Church of the Nobodies. We're just all a bunch of nobodies. And then lo and behold, the Spirit of God won't let them alone, so they go join the Soul Winners Club. And then after a couple of weeks, they go out and God opens the door and they are able to take the gospel and lead their first soul to Christ. And then you would think that they just all of a sudden just erupted into this new personality. because now they won't shut up about it. I mean, this ordinary, average person now has to come and tell everybody what they did. It's amazing how that works. But you see, that's what God does. He takes the average. He takes the common. He takes the ordinary. Not these rare out there things. Not great wealth. Not great genius. Not great education. No, God can use that, but very few people who have that will let God use it. But God will take a little nobody like you and a little nobody like me. And God will then open this book to where we can read it and know it and learn it and find out who our God is. And boy, once we do, we just can't help but tell somebody about it. And all of a sudden, when we start telling the story, God takes our ordinary and He makes something extraordinary out of it. And boy, when that happens, the happiness factor goes through the roof. Everybody's looking for happiness, searching for happiness. Well, where are you looking for it at? You're probably looking in the wrong place. Why don't you just get you a Bible, open it up every day, and start looking for it where the source is. And the source is the God of this book. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee.